just tell you a little story. I had a good friend that I worked out with for years. And one day he came in to the gym, and he was, you know, down in the dumps. You could tell something's bothering him. And one of the women he worked with in his office passed away suddenly. And he was really distraught, and I'd never seen him like this before. And I said, "What's going on?" And he told me about it. He said, "I'm having a hard time dealing with it." And I just, maybe I opened the door the wrong way, but whatever, I said, "Well, a lot of people find comfort in reading the Bible and seeing what God and Jesus has to say about that." And he got really upset with me right away. I mean, just mad. And we've known each other for 15 years already. He said, "I don't want to hear any of that stuff. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't want to talk about it, and just leave it alone." I left it alone. I didn't try to come back, just in case he'd been spotting me or something and decided just to let it drop on my chest or something like that. And it was just amazing the anger that he immediately had. And maybe he was hurting so bad that he didn't want any, he's just going to deal with it himself, which I don't think went well for the next 2 months. But anyway.
Interesting. Yes, sir. Would you like to share?
Yeah.
Cool. Here's the mic.
No, I don't need a mic.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
We're recording this. FBI secret recording here.
My name is David Smith.
My name is Mike Gibbons.
When I first said, was talking about it, I thought that somebody seeking would be easier. But as I thought about it, I brought me back to a friend of mine who was suffering with illness all his life and just died recently. But, I mean, he was opposed. I think there's subcategories in both, because there's people who go into church that are angry, hurt, and separated from Christ. And or they're just battling with Christ, and, you know, they need to reach out to. And then there's ones who don't know Christ, and then there are ones who don't want nothing to do with Christ. So there's all these different subcategories. And my friend for a long time wanted nothing to do with it. And luckily, by the time he died, I found out that through another source that he accepted Christ. So, yep.
That was a great story. I just want to have that in the back of your mind as we go through the scripture, because in Acts, we run into both groups of people. Those that are church, synagogue, some God language, and then also those who are unchurched, which is where we are this morning. I'm going to ask for Jerry Peterson to stand. Thank you, buddy. This is what happens when you're not paying attention in the morning. I make you stand, so you got to listen, okay? Tom, could you go stand on the porch? In the middle of the room would be great.
There's any packages out there. Just
that's right. Jim Reed, can you stand right there, please? I appreciate that a lot. Glenn, can you stand there? Very good. Stephen, can you go stand over there? Okay. I've picked these people out for a very specific reason. I would like to pray this morning with intentionality. And I've asked these guys if they would make sure that prayer takes place. And I need just for a couple people to go to each one and get around them. And then once you're in that position, I'll lead you in what we're praying for this morning. So right now, as you look around, you see who's the better looking one and the better whatever. Oh, Kathleen, this is going to put you in a tough spot. And so be looking around at who you think you'd like to go pray with. Maybe somebody you don't usually spend time with. Okay, it does. I did that for you. Say thank you. And so go stand near them. If you see a couple of more people standing near one of them, and go to somebody else. But go right now, take the next couple of minutes, and go stand near one of these people. Okay? Okay, now here we go. Go ahead, pick out a few people. Steve's only got one person up here. I'm gonna pick it up. Laura, come stand right here. I need another leader. If you don't know Laura, okay, now I got another leader. Go, okay, there you go. Anybody else got Laura leading too? You can come stand near Laura. I've got Steve up here with just one. Jim's got four. Who's winning this? Okay, good. All right, it's not a game. All right, listen carefully. Okay, let me get this going. We're going to make sure that we pray for things that are on all our hearts. So here's the first thing we're going to pray for. We're, if you haven't been doing this, you need to be doing this. As you heard. Yes, Lord? Okay, I'll tell him. Okay, I'm not going that far. Okay. As you... this is good, isn't it? You like it. As you heard, we are actively engaged with someone that we're talking to take this position as pastor. I was very impressed with the guy, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just an ongoing conversation. It might go nowhere, but so far it's going somewhere. We need to be praying about that. The transition team, with the wisdom as they interview and get to know this guy, and then eventually when it goes to the elders, we're talking over the next couple of months some pretty, pretty intense conversations and seeking of God's will. And you need to be in prayer for that. So the first thing, I'll interrupt you when this is over. Take the next couple minutes. Prayer leaders, make sure this happens. Pray for the transition team and the new pastor, whoever he might be. Go ahead and pray together. Our Father, I come before you this morning thanking you in advance for the answer to these prayers. Thanking you for the person of your choice being brought here. Praising you for the fact that once again you have met our needs with somebody more than competent to do that as he seeks to walk with Christ. So right now, Father, I pray for him that he'd be attentive to your will. Father, I pray that he'd stay in your word. Father, I pray he'd still stay in love with the kingdom as we've come to learn that he is. Father, to your glory, we thank you for the person you'll be bringing here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Don't leave your group, but group leaders, listen up. There is no obligation to share. Nobody's going to stick a mic in your face. But if you would like to at this time to the leader, to the group, if you would like to bring up something that is really pressing you as far as a prayer request, why don't you share it with the leader or the leader with you if the leader has one, and then pray for those things right now over the next couple minutes. And then I'll disturb us and end us by praying over the top of you. Go ahead, share with each other and pray for each other. Our Father, we do thank you that you are the God who cares for us right down to very small needs that we have and desires and wants. And Father, I thank you that we can run to you with whatever request we might have when we know that you hear us. And we ask right now in the name of Jesus Christ for all these requests that have been made and the ones that can't even be shared, that you would step boldly into our lives and answer those prayers to your glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may find your seat, but don't forget what group you were in. How's that? You may find your seat so we can worship for a little bit, but don't forget what group you're in. I will be quizzing you. Thank you very much, folks. Appreciate it. Okay, tough question. It's been 4 minutes. Do you remember what group you were in? I knew it. All right, I'm going to ask you to find that group and be able to settle with that group, which means sit kind of close to the location you were in. So I'll give you a couple minutes to get in those groups, and then you're really going to be put to the test. Can't wait to do it. Okay, has everybody found their seat? Have all the leaders found their way? We're doing good. We're in Acts chapter 14, so you might as well start turning to it while some of the leaders find their location. Not looking at anybody in particular. Okay, Acts chapter 14. It's after Acts chapter 13. You'll find it in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 to 28. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 to 28. So if you located that scripture, look up toward me and listen to these instructions. This is not easy. Here we go. In this scripture, chunk of scripture, there are really three, don't look like that, scares me. There are really like three different vignettes that I want to look at, and I want your group to look at one. So listen carefully to me, leaders. The first one that you get a choice of is verses 8 to 18. The first one you'd get a choice of is verses 8 to 18 of Acts 14, all right? The second choice that you could make as a group to study is verses 19 to 23. Verses 19 to 23 is the other choice you could make. And then the third choice is verses 24 to 28. Everybody got that? Verses 24 to 28. You as a group right now take the next minute or so, everybody looking at it, and you with the leader figure out which one of those sections of Scripture you're going to study, and then I'll give you the assignment that we're going to cover this morning. So have a little bit of a look through yourselves, try to figure it out, and then make a recommendation as to what section you think you and your group should study. Go ahead and do that. You should be narrowing it down to one section by now. There should be a group fever going in one direction. Okay, as your group picked a leaders, as your group picked a scripture? Yes or no? Tom, have you guys picked a scripture? You have. Jerry, have you picked a scripture? Okay. Jim's got that's right. Jim's got one. Stephen? Okay, Laura, have you picked a choice? Yes. And Glenn, have you guys picked a scripture? You have. So the only one we're waiting on is Jerry and the college professor and Rosie. Oh, we got one. Okay. Listen very carefully to me. Got it? Luke recorded this, and it is recorded for us on paper by the Holy Spirit. Luke, inspired by that Holy Spirit, made a record of what was taking place now in areas, well, that were outside the Jewish area. We're talking basically in the very secular area where obviously ideas went everywhere. My question to you is, we can look at it this way. You know what? This is just history. Read it and move on to something more important. Or we can choose to go deep, which is where we are this morning. And the deep is this. The Holy Spirit in His wisdom decided to preserve this text of Scripture as His holy word that I might see it and it might teach me something. But hold it, Mike. It's more than 2,000 years later. That's the exact point. There is stuff in the Scripture passage that you picked. There are lessons in the Scripture passage that you picked that have direct application and challenge to me today as I seek to represent the gospel where He's placed me. Everybody got that? Your job is to go back into the text and try to decide what some of those lessons might be for me today as I represent the gospel in the culture of the year 2023. Everybody got that? This is good thinking stuff. I can't wait to hear what you got for us. So go ahead and study. We'll get back to you in a few minutes. You have a couple of more minutes to go. Be honkering down on a lesson or two that you're finding in your text. Okay, be wrapping it up. Be wrapping it up. Okay, here we go. Let's see if we can hang Mike out to dry. Let's see if anybody did it. Did your group hang Mike out to dry? How many people covered verses 8 to 18? Okay, good. How many covered verses 19 to 23? Okay. How many covered verses 24 to 28? Whoo, Mike is redeemed. There we go. Thank you very much, guys. That was a plan. All right. I'm in verses 8 to 18. Who had that? What groups? You have anything you want to share with us? Verses 8 to 18. I'm going to the porch, apparently. Verses 8. Okay, good. I'm glad it was all inclusive. We're done. Who's your spokesperson? Would they come here so we can see them as well as hear them? We'll hear them. Verses 8 to 18. Lessons for today for us. Okay, let's let Tom teach us the church what lessons there are for today from the scripture. Tom?
Okay, a couple of things we came up with. First and foremost, you know the story. You know the fact that the apostles are doing the work of apostles. They are healing and preaching. And in this case, they get confused. The crowd is confused that these are gods. And they have to dissuade them, first of all, from worship. They're not to be worshipped. They are men. And then they go into the part that probably applies the most to us. I don't know that we're ever going to have anybody who's going to confuse us for a god, but we are very likely to have people around us who don't understand the next few verses, 15, 16, 17, talk about the fact that God is real. He is the true and living God, unlike Zeus and Hermes, and that along with being real, He has not only created everything. We don't need Zeus. The real God has created all that is, and he has left himself a witness. And Paul explains to them that God has, in a way, kind of cut you some slack. He allowed things to go on for a while, but now it's a different situation, and he is calling you to repent. And the crowd, frankly, doesn't really get it yet, but at least they've heard the truth. So we can tell people the truth about things like creation, and that there is a real God, and that he is living, and that he is powerful, and that he is the one who's in control.
And this, by the way, not to talk behind people's backs, but this, by the way, is the stuff we get to enjoy at our community group with Tom there. Insights and stuff. Thank you, Tom, very much. That was really good. I appreciate it a lot. All righty. He teaches us regularly when he opens his mouth. Who else covered that first section? Okay, Laura, here you go. Lessons for today.
I just wanted to add to what Tom said. You know, they thought that they were Zeus and Hermes, which were gods that they worshipped, and they were taking what Paul had said, and they were putting it into their own context of what they were doing at that time. And, as he pointed out, they go on to say, you know, God allowed this for a time, but now he's bringing, you know, witnesses to preach the truth and bring them out of that.
Okay, anybody else cover that first section of scripture? I know. No, trust me. No, I don't. No. Okay. So nobody covered that. Nobody else covered that first section of scripture. Okay, I'm just kidding around with you, Glenn. Is it you? Are you the spokesperson, Glenn? Okay, give us some lessons for today.
To be, Paul was sensitive to this, to the needs of this man, and he was also sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. And it's a prayer in our lives that we'd be sensitive to the needs of people around, and that God would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading to be able to go and help those people.
I got to say something, Glenn. A lot of you know Glenn and I might have a friendship of some kind, but if that isn't the tenor of your life, okay, no kidding around. All righty, let's do this. Second piece of scripture was verses 19 to 23. Who covered that? Verses 19 to 23. One group covered that. Who's the spokesperson? Okay, James, there you go, buddy.
So this is very interesting because Paul gets stoned, as in the sense of stones thrown at him, no drugs involved, and they think he's dead and drag him out. But the message, I think, is persist in witnessing, because he gets stoned in Lystra, he leaves, he comes back, and so persist in witnessing, knowing persecution will come. Because he goes back and he encourages them and says it's through many persecutions we must enter the kingdom. So no persecution will come, but that's how Christ's church will grow. And so those are all linked, because he comes back to all these places where he had all this opposition and the persecution, and appoints elders in the church and gets things going. So we just should not, we should expect the persecution and not be surprised, but no, it's in that that God builds his church.
Excellent words for today. They're coming out. And I'm going to say which group had the last section of Scripture. Who? Who would like to go first out of you folks as you're doing ping pong with your finger? He goes first. Okay, nice.
This is one of the happy parts, not getting stoned part, but this is when they return from their journey, their first missionary journey, and they get to share everything that happened with the body of Christ that sent them out earlier. And I guess the message here is that the importance of being a part of a larger group and not solo in it on your own, that there is a group of people you're accountable to, and that he gathered them back and rejoiced and also spent time with the disciples when they got back. So it's mutual encouragement. The group was encouraged that sent them out, because they never knew they were going to come back. There was no cell phones. There was no way to tell them how the journey was going. And they were excited to hear the news about the Gentiles. And also, they're encouraged, the church there, but also they were encouraged by being able to share it. So.
That is really solid. Let me keep going. Who's got it over here? It is Jerry. Okay.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that, too, about the merit of reporting and the importance of encouraging each other with what God has done. And And that's what we really focused on, was the fact that God did this stuff. All through the book of Acts, it's what God did with them and God did through them. It's all God all the way through the book of Acts. And in fact, the title is called The Acts of the Apostles, and I'm just injecting this right now because I didn't get a chance. You cut us off before we were done. But the book's titled The Acts of the Apostles, but it really should be titled The Acts of God Through the Apostles, because it is God's story all through this thing. And in our own lives, we need to keep that in mind, that when we're going through our daily lives, whether it's the mundane routine stuff or the exciting stuff, whether you're going overseas as a missionary or you're coming back and reporting or you're talking to your next door neighbor or mopping the floor, it's still God's story.
The acts of God, the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles would be a very appropriate term for this. Okay, let me go on and share a couple things. If you could at least twist your seats a little bit so you can see me, so you can attach my voice with this face. Okay, Art said it all in one look. Do I have to, Daddy? Okay, you got your scripture with you? You know me, I'm going to bounce through a 35-minute sermon in 4 minutes here, so hang on tight, all right? You got your scripture with you? You will notice in verse 8 of chapter 14 in Acts, you will see here, and it goes on, as they run into this first person they run into, who is obviously a special needs person who's been crippled since birth. And obviously, Paul speaks to him with the power of God, and hey, listen, guy has no muscle structure. You read down here in verse 10, he springs up and begins walking. And if he got completely cured, you think, oh, his muscles aren't right. No, his muscles got brought back to where they should be, just like yours and mine are, which is an amazing thing. And here's the point I want you to see here, because the behavior of Paul and Barnabas or anybody in the scripture like this teaches me about my walk in the faith today. And the first one I want you to see from this section, which I'm surprised none of the groups picked up on this guy doing this, is that they were conduits of God's power. Paul didn't have it in him. Barnabas didn't have it in him. No, God chooses today to flow through you into the situation he's put you in to share the gospel. This should be a routine part of your experience. Number two, I said this is going to go by quick. I've got like 16 points. Point two is in verse 14. You can look at it if you'd like. You'll see that they were going to name them and worship them as the two gods that were popular in the culture and et cetera. But you look in verse 14, when Barnabas and Paul heard this, what happened was they rent their garments and et cetera, et cetera. And they give, here's the point, they give any glory that they get and direct it to God where it belongs. You got to remember this in your life. Anything that happens around you. When I was younger, I'm going to say this. Not only was I better looking and more fun to be with, but when I was younger, I knew I had the special sauce. Anybody? I knew I had this thing all figured out. I knew when I shared Christ with somebody, I was so good in my mind and so good with my mouth that when it came out of my mouth, it persuaded them. Nobody yet? I'll keep going. Okay. It has taken years for me to learn this key lesson. Any glory that I get, which has happened a couple times, I've been a couple of claps in my life, not much. Any glory I get gets directed back to God. God gets the total glory. It's as simple as that. Point number three, look at verse 19. The crowd changes dramatically with a little inspiration from some Jews that come in the area. And guess what? They stone Paul. And the guy wakes up with a fierce headache. All right, dead, apparently, but not really, outside the city. And then what happens? Listen to this. The third point you need to know. It is normal to expect persecution, and it is normal to expect severe persecution. I don't know about you, but being stoned and dragged out of the city and left for dead, that's extreme persecution. Paul did that. I don't believe that. You will be persecuted for the message of Christ. Hold on, let me go a little further. This will step on a toe or three. Here it is. You will be persecuted for the message of Christ amongst those who don't believe and sometimes amongst those who say they do believe. Dun, 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 dun. That's a tough one. You may need to digest that a little bit later. Point four is in verse 22, I want you to see. You got stoned, you were dropped outside the city, and then you went back with the purpose of strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Are you kidding me? And saying this, which gets by everybody, that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God? You mean to tell me you got up and walked back into the city? I would have got up and ran away from the city. Fourth point, see it here. They stayed on mission to evangelize and strengthen the church no matter the cost. Huh. Is that like your heart? Is that like mine? Willing to pay any price to strengthen the church? No threat doesn't bother you? No actual persecution? You stay on mission to share Christ and to strengthen the believers in their walk? That's tough. Because anytime I run into a little bit of opposition, I want to pray and have you pray for me so it gets taken away. These guys went back in the city for more. You get the idea. Fifth one I want you to see is in verse 27. They gathered the believers together to do what? To tell the story of how the Lord had worked for the purpose of encouraging them and strengthening them in their walk, challenging them to do the same thing. They gathered the believers because the one thing I know I got going for me, no matter how bad it gets out there, is that people like yourselves are around me and I'm around you, encouraging you and doing the work of the ministry. I'm not alone in this. I was never alone because of the Holy Spirit, but now I know I've got some compadres like you who are with me experiencing some of the same stuff as we each try to stay on topic to strengthen and evangelize. Strengthen the church and evangelize those who don't know him. You got it? Next time you go reading Acts, listen to me very carefully. Next time you go reading Acts, don't just read it as a storybook, but look at the behavior of people like Barnabas and Paul and Silas and Timothy and all the other host of characters coming up that are recorded, and realize they're recorded for, yeah, you to know history, the development of the church, but for you to also realize that their behavior and their experiences are probably very similar to the ones that you have today. Look at it that way and be strengthened that the Holy Spirit has recorded these words for us. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank you for the book of Acts. It truly is the work of your Holy Spirit through these believers. Father, there's no difference between us and them. They've got families, they've got needs, they've got concerns, they've got bills, they've got. Yet, Father, in the power of your Spirit, they proclaimed your gospel. In the power of your Holy Spirit, they sought to strengthen the church no matter what the cost. Father, how I pray that we would be like that in all that we do, and that we would be bold, and that we would be strong, and that we would stand for you no matter what, because it matters for eternity. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Listen, before you leave, you're now going to turn back to your group leader. Stand with the group leader. Okay, you folks probably need to figure that one out. And when you get there with your group leader, huddle around the group leader. And the group leader is going to pray and commission you out for the week God has already got planned for you to be bold and strong, representing his name, no matter what the cost. And oh my goodness, do you have the courage to pray that way? Okay, leaders, pray for your group like that.